For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is February the 5th.
Right.
And we are in Shmuel in Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23, Pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19. David is on the run from Shaul.
Right.
And Shaul, Yonah's son, has just come to see David to tell him that he will eventually rule and that his father will not get him. And David is in hiding. Then the pasuk tells us, "Vayalu Zifim el Shaul." The Zifim, the people of Zif, came to Shaul, Hagiv Asa, to give all Lamor, saying, "Hallo, David mistater imanu." David is hiding amongst us, ba mitzados, ba Chorsha, in the fortified areas in Chorsha, begivas hahachila. They're telling him where it is. They're being very specific about the place. Ashemimin haYeshimon, which is to the south or to the right of Yeshimon. So they're telling Shaul very specifically the area where David is hiding. Ve'ata, and now, l'chol abas nafshecha hamelech, for all of the desire of the soul of your soul, the king, la redes rei, that you want to come down, you should come down. Well, the desire of your soul that you want to come down, meaning to get David, come down. Ve'lanu haskiro bi'ad hamelech, and it is upon us to give him over to the hands of the king. It's our responsibility to give him over. So the Zifim are very loyal to Shaul, and they are saying that we are here to help you out to get David. Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul said, "Bruchim atem laHashem, you are blessed to Hashem, ki chamaltem olai, for you have had pity, you've had mercy on me. L'chu na, go now, hachinu od, prepare yourselves more. Udu'u ureu es mikomo asher tiaraglo, mira'ohu sham." And you should know, and you should see his place, that where he will tread, where his feet will be. Whoever has seen him there, ki amar elai, because he has said to me, which means people who have seen him have said to me, arom yarimhu, he is very clever, meaning that even though he's been sighted, but he gets away. He's very clever. He keeps moving. So even though people have seen David, but not in a way that I can ever actually capture him, because he keeps on moving. Uru'u udu'u, you should see and you should know, mikol hamacha vo'im, all of the hiding places, asher yischabe sham, that he hides there. V'shavtem elai el machon, and you should return to me clearly, which means with a clear report. V'halachti itchem, I will go with you. V'haya im yeshno v'aretz, it will be if he is in the land, if he's anywhere in the land, v'chipasti osro, I will seek him out, b'chol alfei Yehuda, in all of the all the areas of Yehuda. Right. No matter where he is, I will find him. Alfei Yehuda usually means amongst the leadership of Yehuda, amongst the princes of Yehuda. It means I'm going to find him no matter where he is. Vayakumu, and they got up. Vayelchu Zifa, lifnei Shaul. They went to Zif. The Zifim, the people of Zif, went back to Zif before Shaul. V'David v'anashav v'midbar ma'on bo'arava. And David and his men were in the wilderness of Ma'on in the Arava. El yamina Shimon, to the south or to the right of Shimon, as they had said before. Vayelch Shaul v'anashav v'akesh. Shaul and his men went to seek him out. V'agidu l'David, they told David. Vayemid Hasela, he went down to the cella. Cella means a stone, but it means a large stony area. Vayeshiv b'midbar Ma'on, and he dwelled right in the wilderness of Ma'on. Vayishma Shaul, so Shaul heard. Vayudof acharei David midbar Ma'on. So then Shaul chased after him to midbar Ma'on. So Shaul is now on David's tail. There is now a chase going on. It's not any more that David is in hiding and Shaul has no idea how to catch him, where to catch him, and David keeps on switching places. Now he's actually in pursuit. Vayel Shaul mitzad ha'har mizeh. Shaul went on the side of the mountain, on this side of the mountain. V'David v'anoshaf mitzad ha'har mizeh. And David and his men were on the other side of the mountain. Vayhi David nechbaz la'leches mitnei Shaul. David was quick to go before Shaul. He was running. V'shaul v'anoshaf otrim el David v'anoshaf l'safsam. And Shaul and his men were going around the mountain. Otrim, it means they were surrounding, going around the mountain, to David and to his men to capture them. It sounds like it was like a pincer movement. They were going around the mountain from both ways, so that David would get trapped. He had nowhere to go. So David was about to get caught. Umalach ba, and a malach came. Now the word malach, we know, means an angel. The term malach doesn't literally mean angel. The term malach means an agent, a messenger. That's what it literally means. We use that term, not we. The Torah uses that term to mean an angel because angels are agents of Hashem. So they are the quintessential agents. So a malach came. The simple meaning is that it was a messenger came. El Shaul, to Shaul, they were saying, Mehira Velecha, go quickly, ki pashtu plishtim al ha'aretz, for the plishtim have invaded the land. So suddenly there was a report that Shaul was desperately needed to defend the land before the plishtim, who had now invaded. Vayashav Shaul Meredov Acharei David, Shaul returned from chasing after David, means he turned away. Vayelech lekras plishtim, he went to go meet the plishtim, to fight the plishtim. Al kein karula makomahu, therefore they call that place Sela HaMachlikos, the Sela, the stone of Machlikos. Machlikos means a machlokes.
Which one to go to?
What's that?
Machlokes is which one to go to.
Right. So machlokes is what's that?
This says the rock of division.
Division, right. Because a machlokes means an argument. So it was the stone of division, meaning, the simple meaning is, that Shaul was about to capture David, and there was a division between the two, between Shaul and David, and in the end, Shaul could not capture him, he had to leave to go get the plishtim. Obviously, we see this as the hand of Hashem, having the plishtim attack at the moment when Shaul is about to capture David. The Medrash tells us, the Gemara says, that this malach was literally an angel. It wasn't just any messenger, it was an angel. Hashem sent an angel to save David. More than that, the Gemara says that the reason why it's called Sela HaMachlokos, as Mrs. Nibberger just said, is because Shaul wasn't sure what to do. When he heard that the plishtim had attacked, he was unsure whether he should turn around and go fight the plishtim, or whether he should capture David. To him, they were an equal threat, and it wasn't clear which one should be the priority. And in the end, he opted to go after the plishtim. So, hold on, let's just develop this a little bit before we ask questions. So David is saved at the last minute, and it is because Shaul needs to leave him to go to the plishtim. Now, as we pointed out, Shaul and David, in addition to Shaul chasing David and David trying to avoid Shaul, there is also a question between the two of them of who is morally correct. David knows that he's morally correct. He's the rightful king, or about to become the rightful king. And he has done nothing, David understands, he's done nothing that would deserve Shaul chasing after him. On the other hand, Shaul believes that David is a morid b'malchus, he is treasonous, and David should be killed, it's the proper thing to do. And you see Shaul's reaction to the people of Ziph back in Pasuk Chafav 21, Baruchim atem laHashem, you should be blessed to Hashem. Shaul sees this as also the act of God. The fact that the Ziphim came to tell him where David is, Shaul sees that as Hashem giving over David into his hands. And when he traps David at the mountain, and he's able to capture him, or just about able to capture him, he sees it as Hashem has given over David into his hands. Now the Plishtim come and attack, and Shaul isn't sure what to do. And make no mistake, Shaul understands quite well that he is the king, and therefore his primary responsibility is to protect the people. And if the Plishtim are attacking, then it is necessary to protect the people no matter what. And no personal interests can get in the way of protecting the people. On the other hand, Shaul sees that David is also a threat to the national safety of the people, because David is a threat to him, to the king, which ultimately is a threat to the people. So David is trying to bring down the government, which is also a threat. So you have a threat from the outside, you have a threat from the inside. Which one should be put down first? So Shaul has to debate within himself what to do. Should I go after the Plishtim, or should I go after David? And in the end, he decides to go after the Plishtim. It is probable that it has to do with the Malach, that the angel, who, whether Shaul knew was an angel or not, I don't know, but that the angel convinced Shaul that it is appropriate to go after the Plishtim. But Shaul sees this as two national emergencies, one with the Plishtim, one with David. And he goes after the Plishtim. So it's important to be aware that Shaul doesn't see the hand of Hashem over here the way David sees it. David sees the hand of Hashem saved him from Shaul at the last moment. Shaul sees it as, I'm a king, and I am being tested about, as a king, which is more important at this moment, the threat of the Plishtim or the threat of David. Every leader, all the time, needs to make decisions of priority, of where should we spend our resources, where should we spend our money, where should we spend our time, what's more important, is it more important to have proper snow equipment in Atlanta, Georgia, for the once every few years that it happens, or is it more important to spend that money on education? I mean, this is every leader has to make decisions like this constantly. That's part of being a leader. You have to allocate. You don't have resources for everything, and you have to decide. So Shaul here feels that he's being tested as a leader. What do you do? And he chooses the Plishtim over David. But he doesn't see this as Hashem saving David. David is a national threat, just like the Plishtim are a national threat. And evidently, right now, one threat is more important than the other. Okay, so that is the end of chapter 23, Chav Gimel. We're going to move right along here. But you see that there is no sense from Shaul's side that Hashem is protecting David, at least even though we've had indication after indication that it's been happening, but Shaul isn't able to see it. Now this is going to change as we move along now. Yeah.
I'd like to say one thing about this naming of the rock.
Brian, can you speak a little?
Yeah, I'd like to just make an observation about the naming of the rock, that it's named in the plural, which means that there's more than one machlokas here, which I think is kind of interesting, and they're both very even-handed. There's one machlokas between David and Shaul, and they're each justified. It would be hard to choose between them. And then there's another machlokas that's internal to Shaul.
Over the Plishtim and David.
Between the Plishtim and David.
Okay, that's interesting. So you're pointing out this is really another
two
division.
Right. Yeah. Which might account for why it's in the plural.
But I wonder if David doesn't have the same internal conflict.
Well,
because he wants to serve the king.
Okay, so we're going to see. This next paragraph is going to really open up this whole issue of David and Shaul. We're going to see. Let's go on with verse 1. Vayal David Misham. David went up from there. It was a wise move. Now that he has been discovered, he needs to find another place to hide. Vayeshev bim tzados Ein Gedi. So he dwelled in the fortified areas of Ein Gedi. So now we have a little bit of a familiar place. Vayihi kasher shav Shaul me'acharei plishtim. So it was when Shaul returned after the plishtim. The plishtim really did attack. It wasn't just a fake thing. They really were there. So after Shaul defeated the plishtim and moved on, so he returned. Vayaginu lalemor, they told him, saying, Hini David b'midbar Ein Gedi. David is now in the wilderness of Ein Gedi. But he didn't know where he was. He didn't have now the benefit of the Zifim reporting on David's whereabouts. Vayikach Shaul shloshes alafim ish bachur mikol Yisrael. Shaul took 3,000 of the choicest men from all the Jews. So he took 3,000 powerful soldiers, his top force. Vayelech levakesh es David va'anoshav, and he went to seek David and his men. Al pnei tzurei hayeelim, on the face of the stones of the Ya'elim. What is a Ya'el? It's a mountain goat. Like either a gazelle or a mountain goat, something like that. So when you talk about high stones, so we're talking about that kind of animal. So he went to go seek out David in those areas. Vayavo el Gidros Hatzon al Haderech, and he came to an area of Gidros Hatzon where there were flocks of sheep on the road. Visham Me'ara. There was a cave. Vayavu Shaul v'hasech es raglav, and Shaul came to relieve himself. V'David v'anashav b'yakeseh ha'me'ara yoshvim, and David and his men in the literally means the bottom, means the depths of that cave. That's where they were dwelling. So Shaul needed a cave to use. As literally as a bathroom, and David and his men were hiding in that cave, far further back in the cave.
That's when the spider made away.
No, that's not here. Okay. Now, before we move on here with the story, which many of you know, the Gemara tells us that Rachel Imenu was at her the great mida, the great character trait that she had was tznius, was modesty. And the way she demonstrated that modesty was how she behaved. The Gemara doesn't talk about it in terms of her dress, but more in terms of how she behaved. And that is that she gave away the signs to her sister Leah, so that Leah would not be embarrassed when her father Lavan switched Rachel and Leah under the chuppah. So Rachel there did one of the greatest acts of self-sacrifice any human being has ever done, and she allowed Leah to replace her. When Rachel did this, as we spoke about when we learned this in Bereishis, when Rachel did this, she did not know that in the end Yaakov would end up marrying both of them. When she gave away her place to Leah, she was giving up permanently her position as mother of the Jewish people. And she did it because she couldn't, she felt it was more important to prevent her sister becoming shamed. The Gemara calls that tznius, calls it modesty. Rather than calling it a kindness, chesed, the Gemara calls it tznius, because the way that one performs a chesed, there's different ways of performing a chesed. One way of performing a chesed, a kindness, is that somebody needs help, and you go and help them. That is certainly chesed. Someone needs help. Someone is having difficulty unloading packages from their car, and you see it, and you stop what you're doing, you run over to help them unload their packages. That is chesed. It's not tznius. It's not modesty. Now, it's not anti-tznius. It's not against modesty, but it doesn't demonstrate tznius. It demonstrates chesed. Tznius, modesty, always means to hold back. That's what it means. It means to keep something back. So we always think about it in terms of covering up, because one is holding back their beauty. That's what the person is doing when they cover up. So that's how we always think about it, because that's a very practical, real-life, daily application of tznius. But tznius means to hold back something. The one could have tznius in the way one speaks. If one if one would have been out in the public eye and one remains back and doesn't step into the limelight, instead steps back and recedes into the background, that's a form of tznius, because they're holding back their presence. The chesed that Rachel did, it was definitely a chesed, but it was a chesed that demonstrated tznius. It was a chesed that demonstrated modesty, because what she did is she held back. She didn't do a chesed by doing something in the public eye. It was just the opposite. She did a chesed by holding herself back and allowing someone else to take her position. That is a tznius. And it demonstrates tznius even more than it demonstrates chesed. It was chesed also. But it's even more of a tznius than it is a chesed. That's what Rachel did. The Gemara says that mitoch tznius shahaisava b'Rachel, because of the tznius that Rachel had, zachsa, she merited, v'yatsa mimena, and came from her, Shaul. Shaul is a descendant of Binyamin, who comes from Rachel. So because of Rachel's tznius, she has Shaul. And Shaul is known as a tzanua. We had this already, that he was a tzanua, he was modest, that he wouldn't assume the position of king. When he was picked as king, he was hiding. He didn't want to come out into the public eye and be king. It wasn't his thing. The Gemara goes on to say, mitoch tznius, shahaya bo b'shol, because of the modesty that Shaul had, zacha v'yasa mimenu Esther. So Esther comes from Shaul, and because she also demonstrates an intense modesty in that she won't say to Achashverosh who she was or where she came from. So she held back from assuming that position. Had she given away who she was, then the king could have celebrated her and shown her off and that sort of thing. Here he couldn't really, because he didn't know who she was. The Achashverosh was always he was always a little bit nervous about her. He wasn't clear about her because she wouldn't say who she was. And that was a modesty. She held back something which she was on the tip of her tongue to say, but because Mordechai told her not to, she didn't. And that's a tznius, to hold back. The Gemara tells us that Shaul's modesty was legendary. We had the example before, but also in areas where we expect a person to be modest, where we all have to be modest, Shaul was exceptionally modest. So when it came to relieving himself, remember, in those days you don't have indoor plumbing, so you don't have that kind of the types of bathrooms that we have. So anybody would have to use an outhouse or have to use something outside. And if you're on the road as you're traveling, there's no official rest stops, so you find some sort of a private area and you use it, and that's what they did. That was a normal way of life in those days. For us, it's a little bit, you know, those who've gone camping perhaps have some experience with it, but it's not our thing. But the in their day, that was normal. It was absolutely normal that if you're traveling, so you find off the road, you find someplace relatively private and use it. For Shaul, it had to be far more private than that. Shaul went into a cave. The Gemara says it was a cave within a cave, and within the cave itself, Shaul, his modesty extended to Hashem, which means that Shaul it wasn't just enough for him to be away from people, but we know that Hashem is everywhere. Meloch al ha'aretz kevodo, Hashem his presence is all over, and we know that we have a concept of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Saman. I place Hashem in front of me all the time. And Shaul, when he was even within this cave, but the in terms of how much clothing he removed and how covered up he made himself be as he is relieving himself, was he covered himself the utmost, as much as could possibly be done, while still having to take care of that need. Obviously, that need requires some degree of being exposed, but it was in the most limited way possible. That was Shaul. This was Shaul. So Shaul's great character trait, the character trait of modesty, of tznius, which he never loses, even as we see him here precipitously losing his great stature, and we see that, we feel for him because we understand that there is this ruach ra, there's this evil spirit that's beset him, and he can't think straight. And we see how he's losing his grip on. It's almost like losing his grip on reality. It's we see so clearly the hand of Hashem, and he can't see it. And even within all that, but the great character trait of tzniut that he had and he perfected, it is told to us right here. The Navi draws attention to it, that the story that we're about to see with David and Shaul is against the backdrop of Shaul's great tzniut. Now that's not a coincidence. As we're about to see, David is going to also demonstrate his great character trait, as we'll see, but it is against the backdrop of Shaul's great character trait. We have two really incredible people over here who have perfected themselves far beyond not just ourselves, but anybody we've ever met, far beyond anything we can imagine, and they each have a particular midah that they stand for, which means they've perfected that one beyond even their own greatness. And we're going to see both demonstrated in this story. So the first thing we have is Shaul's great modesty. And ironically, and we'll see it's not so ironic, Shaul's great modesty is what puts him in the cave where David is. Because if it wasn't for his great modesty, he wouldn't have been in that cave. The cave, if you can imagine, if David's in there, it must be a pretty hidden place. Yeah, because David, he's hiding, so he's going to be in a place which is not so evident. So this is what brings Shaul there. So now we have the rest of it.
Rabbi,
yeah.
I was learned that for Rachel and for Esther, that it was Sheket that was the thing, not modesty.
Yeah, the Gemara calls it Snius.
The Sheket is Snius.
That's right. Okay. Right. When a person is dying to say something and doesn't, that is it Snius. Because it's holding something back. So the pasuk says, pasuk hey, verse 5. Vayomu anshe David elav. So the men of David said to him, Hine hayoma she'omar Hashem elecha. Here is the day that Hashem has said to you, Hine anochi no seines oyivcha biyadecha. Behold, I am giving your enemy over into your hand. You shall do to him what is good in your eyes. So the people that were with David said, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Hashem is giving him over to you. You can't ignore this. Look what happened. We're hiding in this cave. We're trying to stay away from Shaul's men. And we're not discovered. But not only are we not discovered, Shaul comes in by himself. He's got no bodyguard. He's absolutely by himself in this cave. He doesn't even know we're here. He's yours. Finish him off, and we're done. Isn't this the hand of Hashem? Is this not the hand of Hashem? Vayakam David got up. Vayichos es kenaf hamiil asher l'shol balat. And he cut off the corner of the cloak that Shaul had. Balat means stealthily, very, very quietly. Vayach reichen, and afterwards, vayach leiv David oso. David's heart struck him. David was upset. David was. He regretted it. That he cut off the corner that was Shaul's. Even that, David felt was improper. Now the next pasuk will explain. He said to his men, "Chalila li me Hashem, chas v'shalom. Chalila li. It should be profane to me from Hashem. If I will do this thing that you want me to do, la'adoni, to my master, limshiach Hashem, to the anointed one of Hashem, lishloach yadi bo, to send my hand against him. Ki mashiach Hashem hu, for he is the anointed one of Hashem. I'm not sending my hand against him. Vayishasa David es hanashav badvarim. And David chastised. It's stronger than chastised. He beat them down with words. He didn't allow them to get up against Shaul. The Shaul come at Mehanara. Shaul got up from the cave. Vayelach Badarach, and he went on the road. Now, the cutting off of the cloak. David is going to use this as a way of showing Shaul his loyalty. Until now, until this point, every time we've read that David is loyal to Shaul, that he makes sure to do what he's supposed to do, that he takes care of him, that he fights his wars for him, that he plays the harp, all the things we saw David do. Until this point, one could have argued, that David was doing what was the proper thing to be done in that situation. He was a subject of Shaul, and he did what he was supposed to do. We have not yet seen whether David, deep down internally, actually believed the loyalty that he displayed. He displayed incredible loyalty until now. There has not been any flaw in his loyalty until this point. But we have not seen whether that loyalty has been pragmatic or whether it has been actual, deeply felt loyalty. And here we see that it's deeply felt loyalty. David says, let me step back for a second before I say what David says. When we know that we are morally correct, when we have something, we have a disagreement with somebody else, we have a position that we take, perhaps an unpopular position, whatever it is, but we have conviction that we're right, we tend to look for Hashem's stamp of approval. And if we see it, we seize it because we want that stamp of approval, because we want to prove, look, I'm right. It's very, very easy for a person to get lost in that and to react without thinking, without sifting through based on an objective approach through Torah, and rather saying, oh, look at that, Hashem did it's the hand of God. The people of David reacted that way. They said, how can you ignore this? Could we have scripted this any better? We could have done it. It's unbelievable. He's here. Kill him and we're done. And David says, I will not send my hand against the anointed one of Hashem, because I don't care what's going on, he is the Mashiach Hashem. And it doesn't make a difference that he's out to get me. It doesn't make a difference that life would be a lot easier without him. I cannot send my hand against him. David knew that Hashem was going to protect him, and David knew that Hashem was going to set it up that he, David, would become king and not Shaul. And in order for that to happen, it was becoming clearer and clearer that Shaul would have to die. That it's not going to happen peacefully. It's not going to happen without some sort of trauma, some sort of upheaval. Something has to happen. David says, it's not my job to make it happen. My job is to stay alive. That's all Hashem has told me to do right now, is to stay alive. He sent me the message through the arrows with Yonah's son that I am to run away. So I am running away. Nowhere did Hashem empower me to get rid of Shaul. I was never told to do it. I was never asked to do it. Now, is it true that I can intuit that has to happen? Is it true that somewhere along the line Shaul's going to have to meet a violent death, or at least a premature death? It certainly appears that way, but no one ever told me that I am the agent to do it. And David says, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And I don't care that it means that my life is going to be miserable for the foreseeable future. David has no idea how long it's going to go on for, that he's going to be on the run. So I don't know. But it doesn't matter, because I was never given this job. This is David's loyalty. Who is he being loyal to?
Hashem.
Hashem. David is the quintessential Eved Hashem. He is loyal to Hashem 1,000%. David does not allow his own personal needs, his own personal cheshbonos calculations, to get in the way. David is able to push those things aside and do what is right. You need to keep this in mind, front and center, when we get to the story of David and Bathsheba. David is going to do something wrong. But we have to understand that that story comes against the backdrop of David's great character trait, his great midah. His great midah is absolute loyalty to Hashem and not allowing any personal needs, any personal calculations, anything to get in the way. That's why with Bathsheba, there's going to be a very, very high expectation of David. There's going to be, because David, with his great midah, there was an expectation that he would overcome even the great challenge that will be with Bathsheba. As we'll see how great that challenge was. And there he will fail. But here we see his midah shine. It comes out in it's clear, his great midah. We have here Shaul's great midah, modesty, which puts him in a position where David is challenged in his great midah. Now I ask you, if Shaul is demonstrating his great midah, and David is now challenged, what if David would have failed? What if David would have said, oh, okay, he's here, I'm going to attack him? Would that not have proven, perhaps, the exact opposite? Would that not have proven that who's more worthy of the throne? The one who is demonstrating his great midah, or the one who is not demonstrating his great midah? Hashem here pits the two against each other. Is Shaul going to demonstrate his great midah? He does. He goes into the cave. Is David going to demonstrate? Yes, he does. You, me, the reader, us, we are seeing these great midahs. Don't be so quick to judge who is the better king. They're both incredibly great people. We know, unfortunately, Shaul made a mistake, and because of that, he's going to lose the throne. But understand that we're dealing with greatness here all around. Yeah.
But more than just showing his loyalty, David is showing that he can be a leader. Because to hold back
men, good.
The person who's been after them.
Right. Excellent. Excellent.
When they have the opportunity, they could have just rushed out and done it without consulting with David first.
Right. David is not doing what's popular. Right. And that's going to play itself out over and over again when
men wanted to ask him before they just rushed out and killed him. It's pretty good too.
They overruled him. One guy, and there are hundreds.
Right, they could have. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
That shows even more the greatness, because Hashem tests us all the time. It's a test for both.
Yes, yeah. It was.
Hashem, even with Sheva was a test.
No, we'll see about that test. That was the ultimate test, and we'll see about that.
Hashem always tests the great ones, even more so.
Yeah. It's clear in the Gemara that the expectation is that, you see, because we live in this is we've talked about this before, this disconnect of living in America and not understanding how these things, the Gemara is full of analogies and stories where if a king perceives that a particular neighborhood or area is rejecting him, is rebelling against him, then he wipes out the whole area, man, woman, child, all dead, everybody. Kill them all. Not find the ones who are the kachlefels, the ones who are riling everybody up. No. Just, they're all dead. Because that way no one else does it. They're all dead.
But the Torah says each life is a world of
Itself. Of course it is. I'm pointing out to you, you can argue what feels right. But I'm telling you that the king has a responsibility to maintain the government. And the government cannot be challenged. We do not believe in government for the people, by the people, all that. It doesn't exist in Torah. And we don't believe... No. It's a monarchy.
I didn't know.
It's an absolute monarchy. Okay, so we will continue with Hashem.
Wait, one more time.
Oh, we have more time. We can go a little further. Yeah.
So, we know that he cuts the cloth, and we know later in his life he gets cold, and no clothing will keep him warm.
Yeah, that we're going to get to.
So what was he supposed to have done?
David, right. So David is upset that he did this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is David? Let's just address that for a moment. Why is David upset that he cut off the cloak? We're going to see over here in a moment. What is he going to do with this piece of cloth?
He's going to defend himself.
He's going to show it to him.
He's going to show. Look, I could have killed you. I could have killed you, and I didn't do it.
Right.
I am loyal. I would never do it to you. Mm-hmm. And it will make a strong impression on Shaul. He will be affected by this. But David feels he was wrong for doing it, and the Gemara is going to criticize him for doing it. Why does David feel it was wrong to do?
It's still in a form of attack of the king.
Right. He's the Mashiach Hashem. And it's not just I can't kill him, I can't wound him, I can't even cut off a corner of his cloak. He's the Mashiach Hashem.
It's a the cloak.
Yeah, well, that's for the issue. But it's a chutzpah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chutzpah to cut off a part of the clothing of the king. the Mashiach Hashem. David can't sit with that. He said, it's wrong. It's just wrong. So even though he doesn't do what his men want him to do, and what he does seems pretty innocuous, not only that, but it seems pretty wise, because he's able to prove to Shaul that I could have done it, but David is upset with himself even a minute about that. But it's beyond that. It's really even more than that. It's more than that. How could he have cut off the cloak of Shaul? But even David taking in matters into his own hands, see, David does want to interpret, why is Shaul here? Shaul is here right in front of me. The men are saying, you know why he's here? So you can kill him. David says, I am not killing him. But he is here. So why is he here? So David has a different interpretation. He's here for me to cut off a piece of the cloak so I can prove to Shaul that, look, I could have killed you and I didn't. Look at that. Right? But it could be that Shaul was there just so that David would do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be anything more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be that he was put there for David to do anything. It could be he was put there for David to not do anything. That could have been the whole reason that Hashem brought him into that cave, for David not to do anything. But David does do something. It's far less than he could have done, and of course, and we're not taking that away from David. He was absolutely loyal. But David himself regrets it, because David feels, I should have just not done anything.
Thank you.
Thank you. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.